adventure. A path paved with bravery and treachery. A pursuit of hope. One that a hero must tread. And with the evils of this world only growing stronger, the time is now for a new adventure to begin. The battle rages on. The search for their champions continues. Is there anyone who is willing to put forth their own life?
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but it's getting a little serious, so we're going to go on to the next section. I hope you understand. Sorry, thanks. Roll the soundbite.
I'll take the pain away from one place and put it in another.
The douchebags are back with a brand new adventure, a new land to explore, and a new intro that's totally not like the last one. In the pursuit of sweet crit rolls and the coolness that comes with it, they are the Tabletop Champions.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Tabletop Champions. I'm Lauren, your Dungeon Master, and with me tonight we have Ben, who plays Throden.
Hello.
Sean, who plays Clover.
Where did it go? Step one, we're not sending a rabbit back into slavery.
Ooh, Stephanie, who plays Raquel?
I'm like, so, ahoy hoy. I can't come up quick enough. Fuck. I wasn't
Matt,
ready. Damn
it. That's fair. Matt, who plays Fennel?
I lost it. Hello.
This is great. Kyle, who plays Urpax?
The important thing was that I had an onion tied to my belt, which was the style at the time.
It happened. The one happened. My favorite one.
I know. Give me five bees for a quarter is what they'd say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another crazy episode. So on last week's episode, there was a battle at Haven. It was found that, of course, Haven is under attack because God knows it's never safe. There was a giant throwing boulders or launching boulders with a catapult. I can't remember off the top of my head. And there was a small army battalion attacking the walls. The army happened to consist of lizard folk and humans alike. Some surprise guests showed up in the fight and helped save the day. Now we are left with the aftermath. Clover has reunited with his mother, and Raquel has seemed to have met someone from her past. So, a lot's going to happen here in a little bit. So why don't we start off with Raquel?
Okay.
Lord Lena is looking at you with wide eyes, and a smile slowly just comes across her face. She's got a little bit of blood from some of her wounds that she endured in the battle. And so Lord Lena sees you, Raquel, and she just throws her arms around you and just hugs you. Aunt Raquel, how are you? What are you doing here?
Oh, my darling. I'm, here bringing my little friend Clover back. What are you doing here? Oh, look at how much you've grown. Oh, you're so beautiful. Taking after your mother.
thanks. She laughs and she kind of lets you go. And she's looking around at all the carnage that happened. And she just takes a mental note of everything. And thank you for your help. It was very timely. But Clover, you brought Clover back?
Oh, yes, darling, of course. He belongs here, right?
Yes, we've been looking for him. And she's about to say something else, and wrath zooms up in her face. Hello, there's bigger problems going on. We need to go talk to CeeLo now, dude. Wrath turns and looks at Raquel. Sup? She's like, let's go, Lena, we gotta go. And Lena looks annoyed for just a moment, sighs, and says, okay, Raquel, it's good to see you. I've got some business to take care of, but meet me in the tavern and we will catch up, okay?
Oh, absolutely, darling. Go.
And she quickly runs off towards the city, towards Haven, with Wrath flying and chatting in her ear desperately. Which brings us quickly over to Throden. Throden, the fight has finished. You have your two zombies, and there is a dinosaur creature with natural armor plates looking at you expectantly.
Throden is just looking at this dinosaur. Who are you?
And it approaches you cautiously. And it gives you a couple sniffs and then a massive lick that goes all up your face and charges off into the forest. And you notice as it's kind of running away, it does have small mushrooms and fungi growing from its scales. And as it's charging to the forest, you see the form of the dinosaur drop and back into the lizard folk as it disappears, unless you try to pursue it.
Yeah, I think Thoden would try and follow.
Okay, so go ahead and make me a quick survival check.
Sure thing. Survival, I'm good at that. I got a 19.
Okay, so you're able to follow the tracks a little bit into the forest. And luckily the tracks don't go too far. And you come into the clearing where you see the lizard folk sitting on the ground bandaging their leg. And you notice that from their wounds, it's not red blood, it's purple blood. And it seems that they have not noticed you quite yet.
All right, so yeah, Thredon will walk up and repeat himself. Who are you?
They stop tying on their bandage and they turn to face you. And you see the face of your wife looking right at you. Fungus is growing from her face, and it actually looks like part of her jaw is rotted, like rotting. And she just sheepishly waves at you and then opens her mouth and points. And as you look closer, you see she has no tongue, but she stands and she examines you. She's just kind of walking around you, pokes at you a couple times, and then embraces you.
Yeah, Thoden kind of stands there for a second just in shock and then embraces her back. But how? You were so dead.
Druids have a special language. I can't think of what it is off the top of my head.
Druidic.
I think it's a spoken tongue.
That's going to be awkward.
That is going to be awkward.
Also, one second. Your dead body summoning ass with mushrooms growing on you has a love arc? Please, go on. I'm curious. Really curious about who this special lady is that grounds you.
Sean, you better get that popcorn.
Right?
Also, I kind of feel like I was half sure of what she looked like before. Right? Like, a half mushroom-covered wife is kind of like, all right, I mean...
Also, you said she died, so is she just one of your zombies? I'm gonna play house. I'm gonna play family.
Look, Sean, necromancy's not evil. Just let me raise my family in peace.
I guess everybody needs love. Sorry, continue. I did not mean to ruin that moment, but I just had some questions that needed answering.
They're valid questions, Sean. I'm glad you asked. She waves her hands around like she's trying to talk to you with her hands, and then a heavy... Like, you see her shoulders sag, and she's looking around on the ground and finds a stick and starts kicking at the ground to make, like, to clear out grass, and then starts drawing figures into the ground. And as you're watching her, she's drawing, she first draws an egg and then an arrow, and then she draws, like, a little stick figure of a lizard folk. And then another arrow, and then she draws, or not another arrow, but a plus sign, and another lizard folk, and then an arrow to one of the lizard folk being, like, with X's over their eyes, laying on the ground, and then another arrow to fungus, and then she draws a sun... with little clouds and stuff, and like little beams that go down onto the lizard folk, and then she depicts the lizard folk standing back up with fungus growing. And so it's kind of, she tries to tell you this story. It looks like the circle of life. And for some reason, this is her circle of life now. She's not sure. Like, it's kind of hard to tell what it is that brought her back, though.
Hmm. So the Throne will ask you, what brought you back? Do you know?
And she stops and, like, scratches her head for a second. And then just gestures to the forest and then points up. Good luck interpreting that shit. Are you confused yet, Ben?
I'm confused. How did the dinosaur lick him without a tongue?
Okay. No, that's a druid thing. Just throwing that out there. That's a druid thing.
Yeah, she turned into a dinosaur that had a tongue.
Then why isn't she turning into another beast that can speak to tell him what happened?
Because Sean, can you tell me what beasts can speak?
Birds.
Maybe she used all her
spell slots for the day. That's an interesting question, though. If a druid gets its leg cut off, then does it, when it goes into animal form, does it have all of its legs?
No, from my understanding,
This is magic!
Okay. Yeah, I would say they do.
You're ruining the immersion, Jesus!
Wait, I'm sorry, I'm stopping. I'm kidding. It's been a long time since we played D&D.
You're fine.
I know, you're making it longer. Shush! All right, back to the creepy
dead. What the fuck were we doing?
Yeah. But she gestures to the forest and then points up to the skies. And then she shrugs.
Thurston just kind of shakes his head. I don't understand.
She shakes her head too. And then she takes her foot and just kind of clears the dirt, like clears the pictures again. And then she draws two stick figures with scraggly long hair and monstrous teeth. And then she draws fire, like draws them on fire, and then points at the ground at her drawing, and then points at her, and she's grinning, and you see her missing teeth, and she points back to make sure you're understanding what's happening. Basically saying, I set the hags on fire, that was me, kind of thing.
So that was you.
She grins and nods. And then she reaches down and she pulls up a string and it has two beads, two very bright red beads on it. And she points at the beads and then points at the pictogram again. And then just pockets it again. And she's just kind of like looking at you expectantly just to see what your reaction is.
Thorin stands there for a moment thinking... And then, why did you not come to me sooner?
Her grin fades, and she looks at the ground and starts kind of scuffing her feet, and she just shakes her head, and that's all she does. She just shakes her head, no. And then she stops for a second, and then she points up, and then... As she's, like, pointing up and looking up, she's shaking her head no. And then kind of, like, looks at you. And then realizes what she's doing and just kind of pales for a second. And looking around, like, trying to see if anyone's, like, following you or her, watching you and her. But she seems just, like, a little bit skittish whenever she realizes you asked this. But also cognizant of the situation. Does that make sense?
Kind of.
Okay. And she just, like, she approaches and she pats your cheek and embraces you for one more moment and then turns and walks back into the forest deeper. It's really fucking weird, and I know it's really fucking weird. But I promise, method of the madness.
Or maybe it's just madness. Who knows?
Maybe it's just madness. Exactly.
It's all those pain meds kicking in.
It, you know, I took two literally about 10 minutes ago, so it could be. So, what does Throden do?
Throden kind of sighs, looks up at the sky for a moment, And then turns and walks back towards the rest of the group and Haven.
Perfect. Clover.
Yes.
You are being held by your mother, Madeline. Madeline?
Melody. No, not Madeline. Melody.
Melody. Melody. Melody. I had it written down, I promise. As she's embracing you, you close your eyes just for a moment just to enjoy the warm embrace from your mother. And then you hear the fire bells ringing. And she stands and she goes, come, Clover, we must go check on your mother. And
okay, Mom.
She holds her hand and you guys race to where the bells are coming from. And as you're kind of moving through the city, you see that there's some debris kind of fallen and there's giant boulders sitting in the middle of the street. But as you're on the corner to where the bakery is, you see that a boulder has massively caved in on the bakery itself.
So first of all, what does the destruction look like around the rest of the city? Is this like a total loss or is
No. This is, okay, so Haven has learned its lesson on sieges. And luckily they have been able to upgrade some of their buildings to stone. Some of the roofs are made out of wood or thatch, so some of it could catch on fire, but for the most part it's pretty fortified. But the wreckage right now that you're seeing, it looks like the army, that little small legion of group or whatever, just got there and they did a little bit of damage, but not a whole lot of damage. Like that's kind of what you're seeing as you're running through. Like there's like, luckily a couple boulders missed. There are a couple homes that have had corners or roofs caved in, but the worst of the damage seems to be towards the bakery.
Okay. And I don't see Henrietta anywhere.
So you're running over there with your mom and she's looking frantically for Henrietta. And as you guys get closer, you do see that once more, like half the bakery has been caved in and you cannot see Henrietta. And people are digging at the boulder, trying to move debris to see if they can find her. And that's when Melody starts. She just lets go. She says, stay back. And she runs and starts helping.
I don't stay back. I go help as well.
Okay, perfect. Go ahead and roll me a perception check.
Okay, perception. That is a 21.
Okay, so not in the middle of the debris, but in the like the far left corner of the building where part of it did cave in, you see Henrietta. And she looks prone, and she looks like she's struggling underneath some heavy, like, beams.
Okay, cantrip message to her. It says, I'm coming for you, Mom. We're going to get you out.
You just hear Clover?
And I, you know, step click, step click, step click, mm-hmm. step click my way over there. And I just throw my crutch down, drop to my knees, and just try and begin clearing as much stuff as I can.
Absolutely. And so you start digging and Melody realizes what you're doing and she goes over. She goes, she's over here. And you're finally able to clear out some of the debris and you can see your mom's face underneath. And you see tears in her eyes well up as she sees you. And you hear, move. I've got this. And Raylan just reaches over and lifts up the beam. And as he's lifting it up, Henrietta starts trying to crawl out and Melody just grabs her and pulls her out completely. And as soon as she's free, Raylan just lets it down gently.
Melody is a pretty stout otter, correct?
She is.
Okay.
She is pretty stout. She's pretty strong. She's okay. A strong girl.
She's a strong girl.
Your mom an otter?
Both of my parents are otters.
Oh, snap. That's just not okay, man. In fucking Haven?
Yeah.
They're monsters.
They're not going to discriminate against someone based on someone else's actions?
No, I'm discriminating against you, making it an otter.
And Clover looks down, smiles, and is there any other near destruction where they're like trying to help people out?
There's a couple small places that are like caught on fire from the boulder earlier, but it looks like it's being pretty well maintained right now. The biggest part of the damage was to the bakery.
Okay. Despite this coming together of my family, I say, I'll be back in a few minutes, Mom. Other people need help. and I pick up my crutch and I go start trying to make my way around to try and assist wherever I can.
Fantastic. And you hear your mother protest, but Melody's like, no, dear, please rest for a second. Clover is fine. He will come back. We need to get you looked at. And then you could hear cries for Smuckers kind of going out through the streets. Fennel, what are you doing?
I think Fennel would just like go around like helping soldiers get to the, like, I'm sure there's like a medical tent around somewhere, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. Like, he's helping soldiers move there.
Yeah, so there's not necessarily a medical tent set up in this town, but with some instruction, with some guidance, you do find that there is their version of a hospital. It's called Smuckers. And so you're helping get people and soldiers there who are wounded there. And eventually, the Minotaur man, Rylan, starts helping instruct you where the place is, and he starts helping, like, going with you to help go get soldiers and get people over there. Is there anything else you are doing during this time? You do see Clover running off to help kind of put out fires and help where he can.
While this is happening, can Clover be, like, calling out orders and asking for help and stuff like that, and using his inspiring leader trait to just kind of everybody that's around that can hear him?
Absolutely.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt there. I just wanted to put that out there.
No, it's fine. You see Clover giving out orders.
Fonel's just, like, busy trying to help out. Like, if he has some medicine training from the monastery, so he's, like, helping, like, people who are, like, bleeding a lot, like, close up wounds and all that, and it's just, like, asking what he could do the most to help out.
Mm-hmm. Clover helps point directions of who needs to get, like, who really needs medical help, and Rylan just helps you get them there. Mm-hmm. Urpax, you're kind of standing watching all this going on, and what are you doing, Urpax, buddy?
Urpax isn't even here.
Okay.
With all this commotion going on and everything, all this chaos,
mm-hmm.
I'd say Urpax isn't anywhere to be seen, but there would be a tiefling gentleman kind of walking around and trying to get a sense of what happened and who was maybe at fault and try to figure out a little bit more information about it.
Okay. So quickly roll me a perception check.
You are such an enigma, and I love this.
Yeah.
He is. Natural fucking 20.
I rolled a really good roll.
Ooh, hot damn.
I got all of the perceptions.
All of the perceptions.
You do. You see a Thrun pursuing a creature into the woods. You see Raquel making her way to the top. You see everyone's actions that they're doing. But you also see a very tall, elegant elven woman conversing with a tiefling orc-looking woman that you saw on the battlefield earlier, and a pixie, or a fairy. Pixie, right? Right.
Is it Wrath?
Wrath.
Yeah, then it's Wrath. A pixie.
So I forgot completely. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
And they look like they're in a...
season was pixies.
Yeah, and then they look like they're in a very heavy, almost argumentative conversation as they're heading off towards a house. But it people, like, you're trying to pick up conversations, and you're
try to make my way closer and still listen in a little closer.
Absolutely, stealth that shit.
Nine.
Ooh, hot damn, buddy. Okay, so
I have like a way to make it advantage.
But like all the commotion.
Yeah, well, you know, whatevs.
Let's play this out. Let's see how this goes. Hold on. So you start getting closer, and you hear Toad is gone, and Haven is under attack, and you think this is a coincidence, and as you try to lean into it, like, maybe just a little bit closer, you trip and fall on some debris you just completely miss because you're so engrossed in the conversation. They just turn around and look at you, and the elven woman straightens, and she studies you for just a moment, and she places just a little bit of a monocle over her eye. I'm sorry, and have we met before?
No, I don't believe so. I am Votek.
Votek.
Votek, yes.
When did you get to town, friend?
Oh, I come and go.
Interesting.
But I came after the commotion.
Which part of the commotion?
Shortly after the explosions.
Interesting. Well, Votek,
as a traveler, you see not too many explosions. You get peak interest.
And that's when Lena laughs. Unfortunately, here we have a few too many explosions. Now, if you excuse us, we have private matters to attend to. She's giving Wrath a very pointed look to follow her.
Of course, and I bow, and I walk. Let's see, hold on, what's the range on this thing? I walk less than 30 feet away from them. But okay. A comfortable distance where they would think, oh, he's 20 feet away. He's not eavesdropping on us anymore.
Okay. You feel the elven woman, you feel her eyes just kind of watching as you walk away.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm like now, I'm facing away from them, and like, I can, I'm like, look, I'm like writing in a book. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go ahead and cast Detect Thoughts on Lena.
On Lena? Okay.
Yeah. So I initially know the surface thoughts of the creature. What's in their top of mind at the moment. Let's see. I have to reread this myself. It's very long, apparently.
No, it's fine. So basically you can get her surface thoughts, but if you want to dig deeper, she has to make a saving throw.
Yeah, exactly. So I want like just the surface thoughts while she's having this conversation, because, you know, more than likely while you're having a conversation, most of what I need to know as just an eavesdropper is just the surface level stuff.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So
and that way she doesn't have to roll.
Yeah, that's fair.
Basically.
So as they're conversing, you get the surface thought of how did they get here? And Toad's gone. This is bad. Okay, and then just like kind of like things like that, and then she starts thinking, who was this? Who attacked me? Why did he target me? And then she starts going to, oh God, is this because of Mom and Dad? And like you could kind of get the surface thoughts of a slight panic about her parents, and then but like her outward appearance as she's in this conversation with them is very calm and very cool, collected demeanor. But she starts thinking, but you just hear her think, is this what happened to Asphalia? What is happening? What is coming to us? And that's kind of the surface thoughts that you get.
Okay, cool. I'm just going to hang here and kind of just listen in, because I can listen in for the next minute or so of their conversation.
Yeah, and so that's pretty much what you get from them, and they start moving away to talk to a different place. And as they're walking away, you actually notice that the elven woman had a piece of paper, or was holding like a stack of papers, and something just slipped out from that stack. And she just didn't seem to notice, and they keep walking and conversing.
I go and pick it up.
Delightful. So you pick up the paper and you look at it, and it's like a profile of someone, and it says possible changeling Passeric, maybe need to find him, could be useful.
Did and you then say you Passeric?
Passirk.
Okay.
And then it has a list of contacts and locations. So it has a list of the towns, Aramel's Rest, Trenton, possible Burning Arrow ally, ?
Okay. I give myself a little smirk. I tuck this piece of paper into my pocket, and I wander off back into the woods, and some time passes, and Erpax comes waddling back in on his cane slowly, taking his sweet old time.
Back into town. Put two and two together, but I don't know that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and the worst part is Erpax don't tell you none of this.
No, I don't know any of it.
Sorry. Not yet, at least. Maybe eventually.
Okay.
Maybe.
So, a couple hours pass, and the town has finally started to calm down. They've started cleaning up debris, cleaning up from the battle, and there's people burning the bodies. A couple soldiers look at Throden, and then they look at the zombies that he's created.
Oh, the zombies no longer alive at this point.
Oh, they're not? Oh, fantastic.
They only last a minute.
Damn. Yay, not permanent ones. And they burn them. For this reason alone. I'm kidding. But in Clover, you're able to help a lot of people. And Smuckers, at this point, your parents are in Smuckers' small little area with a bunch of other different soldiers who are wounded, and he's running around ragged trying to help as many people as possible, and his husband is right there beside him helping and getting clean bandages and everything. So
okay, can I do something?
Absolutely.
Can now that things seem to be clearing up quite a bit, I would like to go to the tavern and order the biggest, fattest ale that they have, just like, you know, huge, a small one for myself. And I would like to go find Raquel.
Okay. Raquel, where are you? Laurelina did say she'd meet up with you back at the bar later, or the tavern later.
Yeah, so I'd probably be walking into town.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'd be probably wandering around town.
So Clover's kind of hopping on one foot, carrying two beers, as he gave his crutch to someone else so that they could get to the medical tent in hopes of retrieving it
ridiculous.
Later. People need help. That guy was in more dire need than I was, and he needed to get medical attention as soon as possible. So I'll retrieve that later. But
meanwhile, you're covering yourself in ale?
Yes, kind of just spilling some, doing my best. But I see Raquel, and I go over to her as fast as I can, and I hand her the big ale, which is now three quarters full. And I say, well, ma'am, Raquel, it looks like the worst of it's over. I figured you might need this.
Oh, darling, I always need a drink. And so I'm going to take it and start chugging it.
And while you're chugging, I say, it seems like my moms are okay. I don't know when the time is, but I'm sure they're going to summon me and tell me that I have to stay here, or at least Henrietta will. When were you thinking of talking to them about us going?
Well, darling, your family just went through a very rough go. You know, maybe an understatement. Do you think really now's the time?
I don't. I guess you're right. This is why you're a super awesome adventurer, and I'm still new to this whole thing. You have a better temperature of the situation.
I guess, what is our intention? Are we going to spend the night in Haven? Probably, right?
That's up to you.
Hmm.
I mean, the alternative is camping in the woods.
Okay, but
go
we're
10
probably
feet outside of Haven and set up tents.
I think it's been a very busy, busy day. I think it would be better if we stayed here in Haven, have a fun night together, you know, let's get the spirits of the town people up, you know, it's been so tragic, and you know, we drink, and we tell stories, and we have a grand time, and then maybe in the morning I can take your mothers for a walk and
Clover tell looks them very nervous to you, and kind of sad and scared a little bit. Just like it's very obvious. There's like no insight check. I'm like itching my arm, like.
Okay. Darling, what are you so worried about?
The fact that after all this happened that I'm not going to be able to go with you. I mean, my mom's very protective and I don't want this to be our last night together.
I completely understand, but you know, I have a way to be extremely persuasive, so I'm really not too worried about it. You just need to trust me.
Okay, and Clover looks at you and nods and then drinks his whole ale, but like coughs half of it out because it's like a lot, and he's like, then continues to drink it as it's like dribbling down his chin.
As soon as you take a drink of ale, the door swings open and Henrietta is standing there. What are you doing to my child? And she rushes over to you and slaps the ale out of your hands. You were too young for ale. No,
Mom, I'm an adventurer now. It's all part of it. Not. Mom, you don't understand. I did this all while I was on the road. No. It was fine. I'm fine, Mom.
And she just starts going off, and Melody just calmly walks in behind her and picks up the ale that fell over, puts it back on the table, and just puts, you know, just kind of holds on to her as she's screaming. She's like, shh, dear, it's okay. It's okay. Just stop for a second. Stop. Let Clover talk. Let Clover talk. And Henrietta's actually almost in hysterics at this point. You were gone for so long. We thought you were dead. And that the but city
Mom,
was
I'm
under
safe.
Attack.
And you had to always know that that I was going to have to go off at some point. I mean, this wasn't by my choice, but I went and I conquered and I proved to myself that I'm able to do it. And I'm going to go do more.
She starts blubbering and... Melody
Mom, no, please, no. And I give her, like, a big hug. Like,
and she just kind of, like, wraps her hand around your head and just starts patting you. She's like, I thought you were dead. And this is when Melody goes, honey, he was wonderful. He took out almost half the army just by himself. Our little Clover is so powerful. But
Mom,
but
I did it. I mean, you saw, I mean, oh, actually, you didn't see, but I was really good out there. And I helped save a lot of people. The world needs me, Mom.
But I need you here.
I look over at Raquel.
And when she sees you look at Raquel, she gives Raquel the death glare.
Oh, I'm so sorry. How rude of me. You must be Melody and Henrietta, yes? Yes? I am Raquel. A friend of your son's.
And she, like, wraps... she wraps her hand, like, around Clover's ears for a second. Just, like, protectively. Are you the reason my son is out gallivanting like an adventurer?
Oh, darling. Well, okay, yes. But, I would really...
she just turns her back on you.
No, please. I have an explanation, but I would like to have it alone with the two of you, if you wouldn't mind. I mean, if now's a good time, we could talk.
And she just turns around and glares at you.
I would like to look up at Henrietta and say, please, Mom, you've known me all these years, you've taken care of me, you raised me, you've seen what I can do, and if nothing else, someone who I trust and who has taken care of me and brought me home safe, you should at least hear them out. And I'm going to roll persuasion.
Okay.
20.
20. She softens her grip and her eyes soften as well. And she just gives a deep sigh and she looks at Melody. And then she looks at Raquel with a little less hatred. And then looks back at you, Clover. And she says, darling, this is so much. I just... let me...
And I know it is, Mom, but... you have to understand, a lot of what's happening right now is so much. These aren't normal times. The sky is dark. People are attacking Haven. I mean, other than New Doladon, this is a whole different thing. Times are changing, Mom, and the world's going to need all the heroes they can get. Can you please just hear Raquel out?
My dear ladies, I know that this is hard, but Clover's a very, very capable adventurer. He has done great, great things the last few weeks. I think you should give him more credit.
Just please, Mom, take a walk with her.
And Henrietta opens her mouth to say something, and there's a cry out, town meeting! Town meeting! And you can start hearing bells ringing throughout the town, and she sighs, fine, Raquel, you said was your name?
Ah, yes. And then I do a flourished, like, curtsy bow.
She just kind of gives you just a look.
I wink at her.
No. We'll have breakfast and we can talk in the morning.
I would love that.
Okay. And she and Melody just pats her on the back and just gives her a little kiss on the cheek. See, that wasn't so hard, dear. And people start gathering into the tavern. And everyone else, you hear the cries for a town meeting coming.
Can I get a drink before we go?
Absolutely.
I'm going to pick up a broom from the side and use it as a crutch for the time being.
All right. So I have a road beer.
And everyone starts coming into the tavern, and it's a little tight, but everyone seems to fit in relatively well.
In the town hall, it's in the tavern?
It's in the tavern right now.
Damn, mm-hmm. I was going to climb up to Colin's spot in the rafters. Okay.
I know. And everyone kind of gets gathered into the tavern, and this elven woman, who you know as CeeLo, walks up to the front, and she actually steps up onto the bar, so that way she's got a bit of a platform, and Laurelina stands next to her, and you can see her better now. She's got a few bruises on her face, and she's got a cut that runs from like her jawline, like from her ear down to her jawline. It's fresh, and she's got tusks. She looks like a tiefling, but she's got little tusks like an orc. And she's
Say it was a torkling?
It would be a torkling. Also, shout out to Carla Marie right now, real fast, for some incredible artwork. And for Fluffy Snowfall for the name. So, I guess everyone who named it. So, thank you for that. And CeeLo basically quiets the tavern with just a look. And she just says, "It appears that we have drawn the ire of an enemy, obviously. They remain unknown. This was a planned and precise attack. They have taken Toad, or destroyed him, we are not sure of which. And they have attacked our town, and they have attacked Lena specifically. We know not what they are, or not who they are, nor what they want. But we are going to be vigilant, we are going to stand guard, and we will face this problem. We have faced many problems, and we will do it again together. Do not lose hope, but if you hear or you see anything, tell me Orlena immediately. In the meantime, relax, rest, and we will begin repairs tomorrow. You did well today, Haven." And she takes a bow and gets off the stage or the bar.
I lean into Raquel and I say, "Raquel, do you think we should tell her about the book and the disc?" Just kind of hushed quietly.
"Well, I know Laurelina very well. That actually is not a horrible idea. Let's talk to her a little bit later on."
Okay, and I nod and I pay attention back to the front of the tavern.
And there are some people who come forth and they say, basically, "Oh, I heard them screaming names and shouting for the true God. They just seemed crazy." And then they just start retelling all the events that happened at the battle. And Lena sits there. She stands there and she listens to each individual that approaches her and tells the story. And by the end of it, by the time everyone has gone through and has actually spoken with Lena or CeeLo both, they both stand back up and they say, "Okay, we have heard you. We have heard you, townsfolk. We are trying to do the best that we can. Tomorrow morning, we'll start. Not only will we start repairs, but we're going to send a search party for Toad, or scouting party for Toad. I know our resources are stretched thin. Enjoy the night." And that's when they just kind of let everyone go. And everyone go ahead.
So I know Laurelina then? Because you said that they were looking for me.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes. You know her, you know of her. You maybe not don't know her as well as like Raquel would, but she is a figurehead in
Haven. So it would be kind of jarring to me that Raquel would know Laurelina.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, no.
That makes sense.
So, Fennel, what are you doing right now?
I think I wouldn't even go to the town meeting. I'm just too busy trying to help the local doctor with the soldiers and guardsmen, because I'm pretty sure there's a lot that are hurt, right?
Absolutely. And so you're watching the local.
This is going to be great.
And you quickly pick up on the name Smuckers T. Goodboy. That's who he is. Some people call him Doc. Some people call him Smuckers. And you start to notice a little bit of a trend. He has a special jar of salve, and he dips his fingers in it and rubs it on what the wound, broken bones, whatever. It goes, don't worry, this will heal you just fine. Oh, yes, just rub it in. And as soon as he like goes to the next patient, there's another older gentleman that goes behind him, sighs, and like actually bandages and like sets the bones and everything, and just basically kind of like the cleanup crew behind him. So
I just look between the two, and I go to the one that's actually doing the fixing up. Is like, is he actually a doctor, or is he
the best doctor around? And that's all he says, and he keeps going.
No one wants to let the illusion fade, and I love it.
Exactly.
They're protecting his sensibilities.
Exactly.
I look at this gentleman, and it's like, is there anything I can do to help? I had some I wouldn't say medical training, but I know how to set bones from my monastery.
He stops and he looks at you. Really? That is good to know. Yes, if you could help set bones after Smuckers has rubbed his healing salve on them, that would be most beneficial.
What is it exactly?
I don't know.
Strawberry preserves.
Do I even want to know?
Probably not. It's okay. Best to stay naive sometimes, lad. It's gotten me this far in life.
Okay.
And he just kind of pats you on the shoulder.
It's like, I sometimes will think, I'm like saying to myself, I sometimes think I should have stayed on in the tree.
That's first.
You should think that all the time.
Is there like anybody like really hurt, or like somebody I could try to help out?
Yeah, there's a soldier who, or not a soldier, but there's a civilian who got caught underneath the some of the debris, and it does look like their leg was probably crushed, but you're able to like at least help set what you can for a little bit mm-hmm. of relief, but it's hard. Go ahead and make. Do you, D&D Pathfinder? Hold on a second. Do you have a heal check you can make? Or can you make a heal check?
I have a medicine check.
Medicine check. That's it. Make me that one. Do that thing.
There we go. 17.
Yeah. Perfect. So you're actually able to, you remember your trainings with the monastery, and you're able to set some bones. Not all of them, but some of the more basic mm-hmm. ones. And give them like the little, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the slings. There we go. Splint. Thank you, Sean.
I like to think maybe since I can see how much pain they're in, like I'm using like my knowledge of the key paths to like use like a downgraded version of the stunning fist, so it's like at least mm-hmm. numb to them, so they're not in complete.
Oh
pain.
Yeah, like you hit like pressure points that help kind of relieve the pain. Yeah, and
here, let me punch this for you.
Maybe wow, yeah, it feels better now.
Punching bones back into place.
Maybe have like an understanding of like acupuncture or something like that.
Yeah, punchy pressure. Yeah, punchy pressure. Yeah.
Just stick that. He takes the needle and holds it in place, and then just punches it all the way in.
Nails it in.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you have a broken rib? Let me break this other rib and heal it.
Right. I'll take the pain away from one place.
You're
and
forgetting
put it in
a lot
another.
Less about your first rib now, right?
And you you start getting into a workflow, but Fennel, as you're as you start getting into the flow of setting the bones, you notice that at one point in time you just stop reaching for bandages because someone is handing them to you. And as you look over, you see this giant minotaur man just silently watching and handing bandages whenever you need it. And whenever you like stop to look at him, he just looks down and just hands you a bandage.
I like just nod my head, thank you, and just like keep at it. It's just like
perfect.
Just, like, too busy like trying to heal people and not realizing what's going on. It's just like,
how glorious is the beard on this Minotaur?
Oh, it's glorious. It's beautiful. It's got different decorated braids in it with beads and stuff. It's pretty glorious.
Oh, I do have Dawn with me. Like, I'm showing her like certain things, like how to like wrap a bandage around somebody's bone or something like that.
Did we leave her?
Actually, no. Let's get to that real fast. Oh, Vanel, you're in the middle of doctoring someone's arm, and you think, "Oh shit, Dawn." And you drop the bandage, and you race back to the cart.
I like yell back. He's like, "Katie, finish it out for me. Thank you. Bye."
Oh, okay. Bye. And you run out to the cart where you left Dawn. The horse is there. The cart is there. Dawn's completely gone.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I yell out, "Dawn, where are you?"
LOL, you lost the kid.
Oh, the hag. You lost the hag.
Yeah, I was like, you don't Raquel? Know
that. You don't Raquel. Know it's a hag.
And yeah, you do. I
think that's where we're actually going to end the episode.
No! Oh, I'm almost as bad as Kyle now.
I know. Matt killed the baby this time.
No. No. Oh.
It was through negligence in his part.
Yeah. Oh, give that boy a javelin. Yeah.
God, someone call Haven Child Protective Services.
Yeah, I will say negligence doesn't have the same ring to it as bad javelin toss, but fair enough.
I totally forgot about Dawn. I'm surprisingly fucked off about it.
Oh, damn it, man. You made me feel awful now.
Well, as always, you can let us know how awful we should feel by sending us a message at our champs line, which is 7575champs, sending us an email, sweet@turtle.fyi. Joining our Discord, turtle.fyi/discord. We post occasionally on the Reddit still, turtle.fyi/reddit, and of course always on Twitter @tabletopchamps. I'm @Fung.
I'm @SeanTheDM.
I'm @TheVoidMan. The O is a zero.
I'm @RP_GGamer.
I'm @Nat20Stuff.
And I'm @TheNat1Lady.
Till next time, to oodles.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.